Thank you for your presence. Thank those who are visiting with us. Thank you for being here, and hope that you'll feel welcome and come back and be with us when you have the opportunity. And know that you're our honored guest. And happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers this morning. Wonderful mothers are represented here. You have put labor into your own souls and the souls of your children, your family. And God looks at that and God appreciates that, and so do we. You've labored in the Lord, and that is not in vain. We want to encourage, keep doing what you're doing. Let's even do better than what we've done in the past, all to the glory of God. I want to encourage everyone to take your Bible and follow very closely. I want to talk this morning about something that is dear to all of us, and that is going to heaven. How do I get there? How can I make sure that I'm on the right road? How can I make sure that I help my family get on the right road or stay on the right road, whichever the case may be? It's about saving souls. First our own, and then our own families. Each member of the family playing a vital role in the salvation of each one. How would you feel if you didn't help save the souls of your children? Children, how would you feel if your parents were not saved? That is, they didn't go to heaven because you didn't help them go to heaven. You see, it's not just a one-way street. It's a mutual street where we're all helping each other go to heaven. And everybody plays a vital role in the family unit, and everybody can either work against going to heaven, work against the prospects of each family member going to heaven, or we can work in behalf and make sure that we're doing our part to help each other go to heaven. If we don't go there, we've ruined our only chance, and that's this life. We've got to get it right. We've got to get it right now. This is not something you can put on the back burner and say, well, I'll start somewhere down the line. I've got good intentions to do that. And maybe when the right circumstances come together, then I can start paying attention to the souls of each member and making sure that everyone is focused in the right way. You can't put this off. You can't. Once you start telling yourself later, you'll keep saying later, and then finally, later never comes. We don't have time for that. That's foolish. You've got now. This is all you know you've got. And so what we've got to do is try to focus our attention on how am I going to make sure that I am involved not only in saving myself, but in saving my family members. Now, Peter, on the day of Pentecost, says you do have a role to play. You can save yourselves from this perverse generation. In other words, this perverse generation is not going to help you go to heaven. It's going to work against you going to heaven. You got to save yourself from the perverse generation that is going to fight every inch of the way against you going to heaven. You're not going to float into heaven on flowery beds of ease. You're not going to be able to just drift your way in. You're going to have to purposely focus your attention on going there and making sure you do what is necessary to save yourself from a perverse generation that will hinder you from going there. You must save yourself from a perverse generation. Philippians 2 tells us that you have to work it out, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So we do have a role to play, and there is something we can do to make sure we are on the right track, and we're going to help every family member because these are the closest people to us. We do not want any of them being discouraged. We do not want any of them to be disheartened and lose their way We want every member of the family to be focused on going to heaven. Now, it's easy to get off course, as you see on the title screen here. Getting off course is never as bad as staying off course. In other words, if you could say, well, I've gotten off course, and well, that's bad, but you can correct that. Staying off course is what you don't want to do. You want to make sure that even if you have gotten off course from time to time, that you can say to yourself and to your family, look, I have not done right, and I want you to forgive me. It is important to me that I get my soul right with God. I want to go to heaven. I want you to help me go there. And I want to do everything in my power to help you go there. I cannot stand the thought that we'd get to the judgment day and so one of our family members could have been saved, but I didn't do anything to help them. So how do I get back on course if I've gotten off course? And also, remember, if you've gotten off course, that's not nearly as bad as just staying off course. You don't have to stay off course even if you have gotten off course. So let's look at these things. Number one, the world is not going to help you. Forget the world helping you. Forget people that are not Christians. They're not going to help you. Sometimes even things that people that you would think would help you, they don't help you. You got to get it out of your mind that you can make friendships with the world and they're going to help you go to heaven. They're not. In Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 1 through 3. When he describes the world and our difference with the world in this way, he says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Dead meaning you were unconscious of your relationship to God. You were oblivious to spiritual things. You were captivated by trespasses and sins. That was the way you were living, and therefore you were dead to God, separated from God. You were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you also walked according to the course of this world. That is, you were fitting in with what everybody else was doing. You measured yourself by everybody else. And everybody else is on the course to destruction. Listen to this. You once walked that way. He's writing to Christians now. You once walked that way, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. It was just, you know, Satan, that is who he's talking about, the prince of the power of the air. He has managed to get sin into all of us. He's the spirit which now works in the sons of disobedience. Look around you. Who are the sons of disobedience? It's the ones who are now controlled by Satan. And he says, among whom we also once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. What does that mean? That means these you are children destined for the wrath of God, just as the others. That's the way we used to be. And our point here is the world is not going to, the world never has helped us. And they're not going to start helping us either. You got to know who you are, what your mission is, and the difference that you have with the world. They're under the power of the prince of this world. They are under the wrath of God. Then you can also drop down in chapter 4 of this same book. Look at verse 17. As he describes the people around us. And It's like he's writing about today, isn't it? Exactly like today. Verse 17, chapter 4. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you Christians, he's writing to, you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. How are they walking? In the futility of their mind. They don't know where they're going. They don't know why they're here. They don't have any purpose. It's just a futile life. It's a life without purpose. It's a life without meaning. It's all about the here and now. It's all about eat, drink, and be merry because tomorrow I'm going to die, and that's as far as they can see. Verse 18, they have their understanding darkened. They don't know any better. The reason you're a Christian is you've learned something that says, well, I know better now. They were alienated. They are alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart. That's what you see about you today. Who being past feeling, there's some people you can't reason with them anymore. They're past the ability to reason with. They're past feeling, having given themselves over to licentiousness, that is, the freedom to do as I please. That's licentiousness. To work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. When you learned Christ, you learned a better way of living. You had knowledge now of what your purpose is. You see, the world is not going to help you. They don't know any better. They're ignorant. They're walking in the darkness. And then you have learned Christ. You have learned a better way. Chapter 5, look at verse 8. He says, for you were once darkness. You yourselves were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, proving what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Your job is to shed light, to expose the darkness with the light that is in you. You are not to fit in anymore. You can't fit in. The world will not accept you until they learn the truth themselves. Many of them don't want to learn the truth. So the world is not going to help you go to heaven, but your family is here today. The ones that are here today, they're the ones that are going to try their best to help you go to heaven. Why? Because they were once in the dark, and they've learned Jesus Christ. They've learned something that has made the difference. And they want you to learn Christ. And they want you to do the right thing as well. To walk in righteousness. To walk in truth. You see, those who are in Christ are the ones who may help you go to heaven. The world is not going to do it. They're on course for disaster. They're sons of disobedience. They're under the wrath of God. And he says in verse 6 of chapter 5, because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. God is going to bring his wrath down upon those who neglect so great salvation. So let's think about it correctly. Don't think in terms of people of the world are so cool. And my parents are so, they're just not cool. Well, they are. They're the coolest people that you'll ever know. How do you know? Because they've got the light of Jesus Christ in their hearts. And they want you to go to heaven. Now, people of the world, they don't care whether you go to heaven or not. So we can't really think of them as being cool. They're not. In fact, they will work against, they're foolish people. They're ignorant people. They do not possibly have the right kind of things that will help you go to heaven. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, evil companionships corrupt good morals. If you've got good morals inside you, people of the world are going to try to take those morals out of you. They're going to try to corrupt those good morals. You've got to protect your good morals, people of the world. Corrupt people cannot improve you. They can only corrupt you. And we don't want that to happen. In fact, those who are interested in you going to heaven, they are trying their best to help you go in the right direction because they love you. They want what's best for you here and what's best for you eternally. So how can we make sure that we give our families the tools of eternal success? Well, one thing is what you're doing now, of course, being here, making sure you're here, but being in the presence of those people who will help you go to heaven quite often. Make those the priority people. Make friendships of those who are spiritually minded. Make it a point that you're going to spend the best of your time with those who will help you go to heaven. And not only that, but you'll recognize how important that is. The world is just not going to help you. So how am I going to get these right things in my heart or in the hearts of my children? Three essential things. What we need to do, family units, each one individually, each individual family unit represented here this morning. Let me give you some thoughts here. Your children need to know that you have a mission and that they can get on board with this mission. And so I would say, let's affirm together, sit down at the supper table and say, we need to talk about something. We need to have a family mission, a common family mission. And I want everybody in our family to have this mission, to agree to it and work for it. The mission is, if I die, I want to go to heaven. If you die, I want you to go to heaven. If I'm to go to heaven, though, I need some help. I need you to help me. Do you want to go to heaven? And if they say yes, then that's our common mission. Let's be serious about this. We've got to help each other go to heaven. I can't drag you to heaven. I can't force you to go to heaven. You're going to have to help me help you. We've got to have a common mission where you're going to help me and I can help you. It's not going to be a one-way street. Everybody's in this together. Second, constantly, you could write this out. Our mission is to go to heaven. Write it out. Put it on the refrigerator. Put it on the bathroom mirror. Our mission is to help each other go to heaven. So that every day, when you go to that refrigerator and you're looking, oh yeah, our mission is to help each other go to heaven. When you're straightening your hair in front of that mirror, you got it right. Our family mission is to help each other go to heaven. And be serious about that. So constantly affirm that. And then as far, because having a plan and affirming the plan, letting everybody know we got one, and this is our mission together, that's a whole lot better than just taking it for granted and saying we don't have any plans, just good luck. Good luck to you. We don't have any plans. You see, affirming a plan is better than having no plan at all. And then always be ready to come together and say, how are we doing so far? That is, let's make adjustments. Maybe we've forgotten our plan. Maybe it's gone a month or two and we forgot our mission plan. We've got to have something that's constantly reminding us that we've got to help each other go to heaven. And so I want you to help me and I want to help you, and we're going to appreciate the help that we get from one another. Then, after we've got a mission plan, we can look and see that this is not foreign to the Bible. In fact, the Bible shows family mission plans. For example, Joshua had to already talk to his family and say, are we on board with this? Are we going to serve God? Are we going to serve the gods that are across the river? He'd already talked to his family to learn what their family mission is. And so he would tell the rest of the children, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's our mission. We're going to serve the Lord. They'd already discussed that. You see, they had a family discussion somewhere along the line where Joshua could know, that's not just my plan. That's me and my house. That's our house. We've got this. We're in this together. Now, whatever you do, you got to decide for yourselves. But he says, we've already had our family mission statement. You see this in Hebrews 11, verse 7, where Noah, moved with godly fear, it says, prepared an ark for the saving of his house. Somewhere along the line, he had to talk to his family members. And he says, we're either going to be involved with the world and they're going to corrupt us and we're going to be lost, or we're going to serve God. We're either going to help each other go in the right direction, or we're going to let the world take us in the wrong direction. Somewhere along the line, they all got on the same page and said, I think it's important for us to help each other do the right thing. And so they did this to the saving of their house. You see this again in the house of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, verse 33. It says, they listened to all God's commandments. They got together and listened to Peter tell the truth. They gathered together and said, we're here to listen to everything God has commanded you. But somewhere along the line, Cornelius said, family, we've got to get together on this, and we got to do the right thing, and when a man of God comes and teaches us the truth, we're going to be on board together with this. See, that's a common mission statement. They formed that ahead of time. So a family mission statement is where every member listens and says, that's my mission for you as well. Now, we can either take from or we can give toward the mission of the unit. Make sure you are giving toward the mission of that unit. No matter how young, you can still help your parents go to heaven. Or you can rebel and make them miserable. And you can rebel against right things. And you can work against them. And, you know, you can do that. But that's not a common mission of helping each other go to heaven. That's not love, is it? Love says, I want you to go to heaven. I don't want to help you go to heaven. Regular assessments are important to keep the team in focus. In fact, that's what we do as Christians anyway. 2 Corinthians 13:4 says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. You each one need to examine yourself whether you be in the faith. All right. So a plan is better than no plan. When you've got a plan, you can always reflect on it and how you're doing to the plan. When you have no plan, you're going nowhere. A plan is better than no plan. In fact, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, says, I've written these things so that you won't sin. So we've got a plan not to sin. But if you sin, we got plan B here. Plan B is where you seek for forgiveness of that. So we're not going to always be perfect in our mission, but we got a mission. We got a plan that will help us even when we fail the mission from time to time. We just remind ourselves to pick back up and go again. So a plan is better than no plan. When you don't have a plan, you don't have anything you compare yourself to. You don't have any direction that you're trying to take. So even if we do not stay consistently on course, and this is what we can talk about as our common missions, is that even if we don't consistently stay on course, we can help each other get back on course. One person is sometimes up when the other person is down. So we can help pick up the person that's down. Some persons are, then sometimes you're up and the other person is down. And when you've got a mission and you've got a mission statement, you can always do the adjusting. Make consistent at least the adjusting part. Be consistent in that. If we do not stay consistently on course, we can make adjustments. Now, if you don't have a plan, that is, my mission is not to help my family go to heaven. I don't have any plan for that. Well, then obviously you're going to drag them yourself to hell, and you're going to help drag them to hell. That's the plan. No plan is to have a plan of destruction. It is certain tragedy. A plan is kind of like having a navigational aim. And even though you may veer a little bit from the right to the left, you've got a plan that says get back on course. Without one, you don't get on course ever. You stay off course. And so a plan is like a navigational statement by which you make adjustments and corrections at all times. A plan says we're checking ourselves by it. We're evaluating ourselves by it. And when we get off course, we know what we got to do to get back on course. That's the beauty of having a plan versus not having one at all. Be ready to make adjustments. The idea here of being ready to make adjustments is like James says in James chapter 1. You remember he says, if you look into the perfect law of liberty, there's the perfect law, but then you forget what you saw and go your way and forget about what you saw. You didn't make any adjustments. He says, that's a foolish person. Why have the mirror to start with? So James 1, verse 21 through 25 says, you use a mirror to make adjustments. Without a mirror, you're not going to be correcting anything. And so the idea here is you keep referring back to your charter for your mission statement, and you bring things back into focus on a regular basis. If you don't do that, then you'll stay off course. You got to have a clear vision. What do you want? When we lay our parents down to rest, did we do what we could to help save them? Did we encourage them? Parents, when you near that process, can you say, I did what I could. I tried my best. I gave them the tools. I tried to give them the tools. You got to be able to say you did what you could to help save the souls of those in your family unit. You've got to have a clear vision for that, a clear destination. And along the way, like we said, sometimes it's just we got to come together and say, you know what, I've messed up. There for a while, I've let things pile up. I got distracted. I'm sorry. I messed up. I want you to forgive me, and I want you to help me and help remind me to keep doing better. Be willing to confess errors in judgment. People who love each other can easily forgive and go forward. Those who do not love do not have anything within them to help not only themselves, but their family unit to go to heaven. We've got to be willing to confess errors in judgment and then pick up and move on from there. Adjust your course with diligence and urgency. And when you can do that, you can say, I did. I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. Adjusting our course is something that is urgent, and we must be able to do that on a regular basis. Only those pilots who make adjustments will make the planned destination. Now, this morning, we close with this admonition. Save yourselves from this perverse generation. The world's not going to help you. You've got to rely upon the tools that Jesus gives you. These are powerful tools to be used. Those will help you in your mission to reach that destination of heaven. This morning, if you've never been baptized into Jesus Christ, you've been off course all of this time, and you know it. And you've been fighting against the right way. I hope that you see now, you've got to get on course, and you've got to help your family go to heaven. If we can help you in your obedience to the gospel this morning, please think about it seriously and let your wishes be made known as we stand together and sing this song.